Welcome to another insightful episode of the 2% Solution. Every conversation brings you closer to unlocking your full potential. I'm your host, Diamond Well, and today we're having an in-depth discussion with Peruz Sarsar, a man who redefined personal growth and self-care. Peruz is an expert at deciphering the language of our minds and aligning our daily actions with our deepest desires. Imagine living on a new wavelength that draws positivity and repels negativity. Today, Peruz will share his profound insights on why we think the way we do and how a crucial instance of reprogramming his subconscious led to significant transformations. From establishing innovative companies to managing personal change, Peruz exemplifies what it means to live consciously while also caring deeply. Prepare to discover how tweaking minor aspects of your thinking can yield substantial changes. This isn't just about prospering in business or personal health. It's about thriving in all facets of life through conscious self-care. Whether you're a regular listener or new to our community, this episode will equip you with the tools to realign your life's direction. So let's jump in.
It is what it is. It's life and life is full. And you always have to wonder, what would you do if it was the opposite, right? You'd probably go in stir crazy.
Well, totally. You know, like I think, man, it's like it doesn't. And it's funny because when I actually think that, you know, when the universe is getting ready to give you a lot of gifts or give you more gifts, it just tests you in so many different ways. Just to make sure you're strong enough and you know what to do with it and to go to the next phase. So you're not stuck on the same, you know, you're not stuck in the same place, so that you're always evolving. So it's definitely, I think it's that's definitely the way it is. Cause it's just like, you see things that, I mean, there's like things that happen throughout the day, especially when you're like building complex platforms like we are, because there's a whole product development side that requires a lot of action. And then there's a whole, you know, what we're doing with conscious self-care, as I explained to you.
Sure.
And what's interesting is that, they all require a lot of time. There's a lot involved, you know? So you can sort of choose your battles. You can go into it thinking like, oh, I have to do this as a cast and do all these tasks, or you just approach it consciously knowing like, you know what? Everything is going to work itself out, bro. That's my approach to everything. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to work itself out. There's nothing I can do, you know? So either way, even if it was working yourself out, I still have no power over it. I'm not the creator of the, you know, this universe. So I'm just like, whatever. I'm just going with the plug.
I love it. And I know that that's not a philosophy that naturally comes to people without a lot of other, at least some tribulations, some trials, some challenges. And so, I'm excited to have this conversation today and really just dive a little bit into your background and why you believe what you believe, but also why you have the mission that you have today, you know? And I figured one of the best places to begin, to be quite honest with you, is just wondering if you could share a little bit about your early experiences and more importantly, how they've influenced your approach, not just to business, but also to branding, because I know you're big on messaging, you're big on vision, mission, purpose. So, do you mind just got a little
bit? No, absolutely. I'll give you a little background. I came to the US when I was 9 years old. I was born in Iran, as I've shared with you. Iran was this people's point of view of Iran is what they see on the media, but Iran is no different than Vancouver, where you are. Beautiful place. You can go skiing 15 minutes, amazing food, beautiful people, just an amazing part of the world. Unfortunately, due to political circumstances and what other people behind the scenes who run the world had in mind, the government was overthrown and we were all, most of us Iranians who were outside the country, were victims of that. And what people don't take into consideration whenever we're sitting back, like attack them or go after them or bomb them or go to war or whatever. What they don't understand is that how it affects people, you know, what's happening currently in any situation where there's trauma involved, whether it's war, whether it's in school, whether it's in the playground, whether as a child from the age of 3 to 9, that's where your self-image and your personality is formed. And I had to go back and understand and read all this, because what happened to me was I experienced trauma for about 2.5 years, and being on the run with my family, being in danger, watching my parents from going to, from having everything to nothing, to having to start over 3 times, even in the US, making it, going bankrupt, making it go. So as a kid who was born into opulence and then had to deal with this experience of hiding for 18 months with his family at one point under an alias, or just coming to a country where I didn't speak the language. I didn't say any, I didn't speak for 3 months when I first came here. And those who know me find it very hard to believe, because I talk.
You play catch up. It's all good.
Yeah. So, you know, all this sort of stuff like affected me. But what it really, you know, the traumatic side and the subconscious side, I always thought was completely separate from the health side. Because I realized after a while, I'm like, oh, my health issues are all connected to what I experienced as a kid, not connecting it to the conscious side. And once I, you know, started to look into it deeper, I mean, I spent years doing what I, you know, so I grew up in Washington, D.C. I grew up between my father's martial arts school, where I, martial arts is what saved me, basically. I became a black belt at the age of 13. I started teaching karate, which taught me how to teach. I fell in love with teaching because it was a great escape. And I have a very smart mom who kept me very busy. And when I wasn't, you know, being a bad kid or misbehaving, because I was just, you know, I'd been exposed to all this stuff. I was working in her salon, washing, you know, I was washing the floors, washing hair. I always had these janitorial duties. And then my other escape on the weekend was cooking, because I'm an avid cook and I grew up loving to cook and I just love food. But I always had issues eating. And I, when I decided to go into the world of products, I fell in love with products. I fell in love with the business of beauty, because I realized in my teenage years that everyone has something really beautiful about them. And this sort of like sat with me. What, within a matter of 48 hours, when I was 17 years old, I realized this. And then I was cleaning, because I growing up always having these janitorial duties, I was actually cleaning the locker room at the karate school, and I found these tapes. And one was called The Strangest Secret by this guy, Earl Nightingale. And I remember putting this in my cassette and driving home one night. I was 17 years old, and the tape changed my, I was like, whoa, what is that? And I just knew that there was something better out there. And so as I started, I got into the world of beauty, but I got into it because I was always obsessed with products, and I was always obsessed with the concept of creating something from scratch and then scaling it and what that would look like. I didn't even know anything about branding. I just knew that I liked things that looked great. I liked things that are beautiful. A lot of my friends went for the money. I went for the work. I went and I worked in every area, every sector, whether it was selling, whether it was, you know, logistics, whether it was marketing, whether it was, I tried to do everything possible, because I knew in my mind it was great practice. But what it allowed me to do is to work in 49 states and 30 some odd countries. And, you know, launching products. And that's where I started to learn about brand and marketing, because when you get deep down and you're training people and you're teaching people and you're working with people, that's where you learn everything, you know? And when you're riding with salespeople, I was riding with salespeople in like the outskirts of Utah. I was riding with salespeople in New York City. I was riding with salespeople in Compton, California. I was selling and training people in like Joliet, Illinois, like places I never even thought of, like wherever, South Dakota, Montana. And it was such an interesting experience, because you got to see people, you got to see how people were different. Now, what I would do when I was in these locales is I was always searching for health. I was looking for a better way to take care of myself. I was looking for, you know, back then we didn't really, the internet wasn't as easy. We didn't have these cell phones around. So I would just through, you know, word of mouth, look for homeopathic people, doctors, allergists, anybody I could find, because I always had issues with my eating. I would eat everything, but I always had a stomach ache, never knowing that my emotions, my subconscious, my trauma from the past, and all these other things that created these health challenges for me were all connected and were preventing me from living a happy life. Because even though a lot of people around me, even when I was creating concepts, there was a period in my life where I became very well known because I pioneered the men's grooming market. Mm-hmm. And the reason guys are buying products is because of myself and another guy. We did this. And I remember we had instant fame for about 11 years, but internally I was really unhappy. I was on the outside, I was a dude having a good time, you know, women everywhere, partying, you know, like a complete degenerate. But in the inside, I was really unhappy. And I knew that I had to fix this.
Yeah. What were some of those emotions? I'm just curious about that, because I know you are very much someone that now recognizes this idea of conscious self-care. We're going to get to it in a bit, because I'm really excited about what you're working on, because I think it really will make a huge, not only local, but impact. But it's been a long journey to get there, right? And I'm curious, what were some of those emotions that were coming up during those 11 years? Because I can really relate to this. I remember when I was skipping first companies and alcohol was just everywhere. So normalize it. And I'm in the fitness industry, which is like, God, just seems so crazy, right? But I'd love to hear just about what was that experience like, you know?
Well, you know, it was very empty and very lonely, because I would, like, let's say I would, I always had these grand ideas like, hey, we're going to create this, right? And a lot of it, I would find myself at photo shoots and campaigns, and I set my mind to something and we would build a brand, and the brand was beautiful and over to who it was supposed to be handed to. And then when that would happen, I would always found myself in a very empty, lonely place. And it also happened, you know, same thing, you know, I wasn't the best person to be in a relationship with, right? So I was going through girls, like my mom used to call my apartments the revolving doors. And, I always thought like, oh, well, if I go out with this girl and she's this way and looks that way, then I'll be happy. And I was, it never worked. And I look back and I'm like, you know, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I went through all that. But what happened for me was once I started to notice that, I was like, okay, where's all this coming from? Where's all this stemming from? How did all this happen? And why do I like destroy relationships? Why do I do this? And why do I feel so deep? And it wasn't until I never even discovered love until I became a dad. And so the day I held my son, which was I wasn't expecting it at all. I was like, surprise, I have a baby. And I was, how did that happen? You know? And, so, you know, I remember the first day that my son grabbed my index finger, and it was the first time in my life I ever felt love.
Ugh.
And when I felt that love, I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, well, how can I, what is this? You know, I'd never experienced that sort of love. I'd experienced love from my parents and, you know, all these other family members and stuff. And perhaps other people that I was, you know, I thought I was in love with, or, you know, I experienced it on that, you know, and that sort of a connection, but I never felt love the way I felt that day, that like, I'm like, wow, this is like half of this guy is me, you know, and look at this thing, like, what do I do with him? You know, that thing.
Right.
And I knew right there, and right there, everything changed for me. And my life changed. I was very confused the first year because, you know, I was the dad looking on YouTube in terms of how to change the diaper and, you know, that sort of stuff. But everything changed. And I started doing it. I started doing these really deep dives. And I was like, I need to figure this out. I need to see what's going on here. I started searching. And I got heavily into meditation. And I was always reading material, right? You name the book, I read it. Someone's like, have you ever read Think and Grow Rich? I'm like, yeah, 25 years ago. Or did you do this? Or the sea? All this stuff I was reading, but it wasn't connecting with me. I just knew this information was just being put up there, but it was connecting. And then I just started searching for it. And as a searcher, I realized, I was like, wow, I am, you know, I am the creator here. I've created all this. And I was put here for a reason. And this happened for a reason. And this little boy came into my life for a reason. And I need to do something. And it was when I discovered that detachment, that when I would detach and feel lonely or was alone, when I felt that detachment was actually my power, that there was power in detachment. And that if I used that power, then I could become very present. And the more present I am, the more alive I am, the more aware I am, and the slower everything gets, but then the faster everything around me starts to happen. And once I realized that, I knew right there and then, I'm like, well, everything's been okay to this point, you know, why not? And that's where my practice started. Meditation started to make sense. The book started to make sense. All that stuff that was around me started to make sense. And then I turned around and I looked back and I'm like, wow, those years went by pretty quick. You know, like, now what? And when I realized that, I was like, okay, I have two options here. I can sit around and I can wake up in the morning and determine how great I want to make today, what kind of person I want to be, and live in my future and bring my future to me and be a part of it. Or I can dwell on my past and continue thinking the same thoughts, because those thoughts created those same emotions, and those emotions created the same results, and those results created the same reality, and that reality created the same circumstances over and over again. Or I can just look at that as wisdom and just let it go, you know? And it was one of those times I was like, I got to make this decision. And it wasn't easy in the beginning. And one of the things martial arts taught me, that everything in life is practice. So, you know, this is practice, what you and I are doing, because I'm looking forward to doing more things together, you know, more of these
of course
together. And we're going to get better at it. Every day is practice. You know, fatherhood is practice. Working out, you know this, you're an avid, you know, gym guy. So you don't just go one time and expect great results. But you go on a regular basis and you stay fit, you know. And then I started realizing, I'm like, well, you know, then everything started to make sense. And then I started taking control of my body. And when I started taking control of my body, because I started to realize, I'm like, wow, this happened because of this. This happened because of this. And through this process as a product developer, because I became a product developer by accident, I started looking for the best products out there. I started realizing that there's processes and people out there that need help. And why can't I bring that out there? Why can't I help make this happen? And as a brand developer, what if I created what if I created something amazing whereby, you know, we can help people think better and feel, because that's all I was searching for at the end of the day. And that's where and then the branding, you know, like I said, I love beautiful things and I always created beautiful things. It all started to make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't judging, or because when you judge, you're really judging yourself. Cause I would be the guy, I was that New York guy who was sitting in the room like, oh, this sucks. And go back there and do it again and whatever. And that was a reflection of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When I like just the way to position ourselves in the world, right? It's just, it's amazing. And it gives us this feeling of control. It's just wild. And, I'm just, cause I know you're sort of hinting and speaking to this development of this philosophy of conscious self-care. And I find it really fascinating because it's like, quite the leap, you know, when I think of it, just sort of video, wandering, get into martial arts, you know, having to relocate multiple times as a teen and while you're still learning a new country and rituals and customs. And it's just like one journey after another, right? And I know it's compounded into why you believe what you believe today, but I guess, can you elaborate on how that philosophy, this philosophy of conscious self-care underpins everything you do? Because I think that's actually what you're getting to right now. And I'm just fascinated. So just first of all, what does that mean? Conscious self-care.
Well, I'll tell you this. So I can explain it. So what happened was when we came up with the Peruse brand, and the reason we call it Peruse is not because of my ego or anything like that. I was named by a very spiritual person. The word Peruse means to win or victory in which of Farsi, which is the beautiful language the beautiful people of Persia speak.
Yeah.
And so you know, I always knew as a kid, I was given this name because I was meant to do something with it. So everything that I'm doing now, I envisioned when I was 15, 16 years old. I just couldn't understand. I just didn't understand it, but I would always see it. And, you know, so when I started bringing all the pieces together, it was probably the most I ever branded in my life, because I just didn't know what to do. You know, when I got into the men's world, I knew like, okay, guys don't know how to take care of themselves. I was running to my friends. I'm like, can I write the word man on this product? And they'd be like, why? I'm like, because I know if I teach dudes how to not have a smelly armpit or how to wash their face, then I can sell products to them. But we started, it was a mission. And so I spent the first 2 years, there was a lot going on around me and partners and people that are no longer involved. On a, but again, very nice people, but I was just trying to figure it out. But I was also going through this experience of discovering myself, knowing that the next phase of my life is where I am, is where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to create some great stuff and help people and bring all this, you know, bring amazing products to life. You know, that pandemic taught us a lot because we were just sitting here. It all started during that time and just sitting around, you think quite a bit. And so, you know, as I was sitting there and I'm like, what is the meaning of this? I'm like, if you're actually taking care of your cells, if you're taking care of your body, and I started really studying the cells and I realized, I'm like, wow, our cells listen to our inner dialogue, our thoughts, everything that's happening in our body is all happening, you know, together. You know, it's funny. I had a grandfather who lived to be in his late 90s. And he used to always make me do these funny exercises, like look up and smile. I'd be like, why? He's like, and you get angry as you're smiling. And one day I was sitting with him and he was a pretty wise dude and people would come visit him and somebody's like, well, you're, you know, whatever, whatever. My grandfather was, you know, too busy looking at Madonna or whatever on TV. Yeah. He was really young at heart. And somebody, I think it was a cousin or second cousin was like, you know, how do you become happy in life? You know, what's the definition of happiness? And he goes, my grandfather's like, well, stop being unhappy. It was really simple. And that kind of clicked with me. And I started looking at this. I'm like, wow, our cells listen to our inner dialogue. Our cells in our cellular body. I mean, look, the past few years, all these vaccines have come to market. Again, I'm not an anti-vax or for, I'm not political.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
I've stepped out of that, all that stuff. But when I look at it, I'm like, why is it the guy that gets the flu shot is the first guy to get the flu? You know, why are these things happen this way? So as I started writing the brand and I started writing about the product and where we want to be, and I see this growing, I'm like, well, conscious self-care, the word conscious self-care, the value proposition, the missions, all of that stuff started coming to my mind. And I was like, wow, this is all based on conscious self-care. And what conscious self-care is essentially caring for yourself consciously. We go through the day, 95% of the time, everybody is trying to, you know, riff on our subconscious mind, and our subconscious mind is our powerhouse. But if we take a little bit of time and just be more, just our subconscious, we can do some amazing stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, we can literally take anything from a non-physical level and turn it into a physical manifestation or a reality. And then I was looking online and I'm like looking at people charging all sorts of stuff. Every day after, again, during that COVID time and after COVID, everybody became a coach.
Yeah.
So, and I would laugh because I would have 25-year-olds or 23-year-olds reach out to me like, I want to be your life coach. You seem like an interesting guy. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, I would laugh about it. Again, nothing against them. I would encourage them to go into the field and do what they want to do. But I'm like, this is weird. And as I started thinking about it, I'm like, well, we need to, I want to create something that gives people this information, that helps people with information. Yes, everybody can make a living and make money and do whatever they want to do within it. But at the same time, if we're helping, if we're giving, that is going to create what's called circularity. So if you look at the brand, and if you look at any element of what we're doing, there's circles everywhere. And I became obsessed with the circles because everything to me is circularity. Everything goes around. You know, I may be in a position,
right?
I may be in a position where I'm not like, you know, what you can, you know, whatever. I might have $5 to my account in the thing, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Hey, man, I'm going through a rough time." I know that if I take $4 of that $5 and give it to somebody, that it's circular. Everything's circling. Everything. I just keep seeing the circle, and in my mind, I'm like, everything is going to be okay, you know. And then these things started, you know, processing in my head, and I was like, how do we bring this in? This is conscious self care. This is what conscious self care is all about. This is what it is. And all conscious self care comes in many forms. First of all, it starts with, you know, being conscious, meaning accept your detachment, you know, become nothing, become no one, step away. That is true power. Because then from there, you're in the present moment, and that present moment is where your power lies. And when you're present and when you're detached, I can tell you, as somebody who developed products that were very superficial for many years in the world of cosmetics, that you tap into your inner beauty. And you can bring that inner beauty, inner handsomeness, whatever it is, out into the world. And I started to see that. And I was like, okay, well, if everything is okay, everything is going to be great. And if I'm, you know, a detached and I have this true power of being present, what's left? Being authentic. Because I was not an authentic person for a good period of my life because it wasn't my fault. It was just, it was my way of masking things. Some people turned to alcohol. Some people turned to pot. I've done that. I was always masking things. I would hide things. And that wasn't, I wasn't being my authentic self, right? If I'm not my authentic self, I can't tap into my higher self or connect with any sort of infinite intelligence, regardless of what anybody or what you believe. So when all this started clicking, I was, the only thing that kept going through my head was conscious self care. And I wanted to create, it wasn't just about our product. I, as a product developer, see, we always want to create the best products, but I'm like, there's amazing practitioners out there. There's a lot of amazing people like yourself out there that are doing what they believe in. And I was like, I want to help these people and I want to create a community. And I want this community to be able to, I just kept seeing, you know, just the same way I communicate with my son. I'm like, what if I could create something where a 5-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old, everybody can benefit from it and find who they need to find. And at the same time, maybe not everybody's going to like the products I make. You know, there's a lot of amazing product developers out there. Why not bring them to the forefront and help them out in some way? Because it's so easy to be a one-hit wonder nowadays on the internet because most of the things you see is all tainted, right? There's like actors and there's like the top 5 this and the top 4 that. And the consumer getting sick of it. And again, as usual, when you come up with an idea like that, people are like, oh, it'll never work. You're crazy. You know, all this stuff. But believing in it, the right people came along. And this is how we all connect. And that's the beauty of it. That's what conscious self-care is all about, being, you know, loving yourself consciously, loving the people around you consciously, having the space that's conscious around you, because your space makes a huge difference. It's everything. Consciousness is the only reality we have. And we're not aware that we're in this reality and we're constantly bouncing within it, meaning the words we speak, the actions we take, the thoughts we think. That consciousness is the only true reality that exists. The subconscious is just it's your power center. It all depends what you want to deal with it. And most people are living in that subconscious mind. So I was like, well, how do we help people subconscious? How do we help them go back and reprogram? How do we help them without them going broke, without them mortgaging their house and getting extra credit cards to learn some craziness or whatever, where like, it's just simple where you bring teachers together and the teachers are good. You know, how do we watch everybody's back? And it was a conscious self-care. That's how it was born.
I think it's beautiful. I love it. And, just the fact that we're engaging that awareness piece, you know, cause you are right. I mean, we just sort of go through our motions. And I was thinking about what you said about your grandfather, you know, just stop being sad. Just choose to be happy. Right. Like, and it's interesting because Bronnie Ware, who did a lot of research and documentation around the 5 regrets of the dying, one of the top 5 regrets that people have at end of life is, I wish I allowed myself to be happier, which implies that there's always a choice. You know, we can always choose to be happier and choose happiness in the moment. And so I that's always sat with me, you know? So it's just interesting to see how your grandfather's also left that legacy and impact with you, right? And now you're passing it forward in a much bigger way, you know, with these online communities and really this underpinning philosophy, really. Aligned with the vision, mission, purpose of the products that you're bringing to market as well. So, I'm curious because in the past I see you mention something. I thought this is really interesting, but this idea of influencing yourself in the right frequency, you know. And I want to know, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because I love where you're sort of going with this. Like, I understand this because, you know, as the gurus always say, is where your attention goes, your energy flows, right? So,
I'd love
to hear your riff on that. So take it away.
Well, I'll give you an idea. I was, sometimes I sit in my car, they call me from work and they're like, we need a video. And I'm like, okay, where are you? And I'm like, meanwhile, like I'm in dad mode. And you know, I'm looking on my left side. I see New York City, my old life. I'm looking over here in the village. I'm like, you got to be on this. You got to be on, like, things are coming at 100 miles per hour. And I was in my car earlier and I did a little video. And on the video, I was talking about how people, you know, how we're all vibratory, you know, spirits, and how we work off each other, all of us, and how sometimes you can just hang out with somebody and have the best time and just vibe and get energized and get inspired and move forward. And how sometimes we're not aware, but other people's moves and influences can overtake our vibration, you know, and it's so easy to, because you could be in the best mood possible. All of a sudden a parent calls you and says something and you're getting annoyed, or like a sibling calls you, or the computer doesn't work, or all these silly things happen that take us away from our true power. And the purpose of the video, I was just saying, I'm like, just, you know, besides guarding the walls of your mind, you know, you can choose to hang out with who you want to hang out with. Right.
Yeah.
So like, when you and I connected, for instance, I'll give you an example, and I'll get to this is leading to your question. When you and I connected, we started texting. You know, you're sending me stuff on WhatsApp, and I feel your energy because I'm like, oh, this is great, you know? And even though I'm doing 50 things, and it's really helpful to me because I could be in the middle of 1,000 things and 14 people coming to me in like 3 Zooms, and I'm like, this is cool. You know, like, this is like, and then it just gives me this energy and I can go back into those rooms a certain way. And it was, you know, again, it's authentic. And so therefore, you know, I'm always looking for, you know, it's always really important to surround yourself with people that believe in you and you believe in them, and they're your pillars for each other. There are going to be people you meet in business, especially in this business, who don't have the same outlook, who will take no responsibility, who blame everything on everything, and they bring their personal stuff in there. And it's like, that's what they're generating from within. And speaking of generating, that's for the concept of, you know, that the question you asked about the frequency. So every day, you know, you have a choice. And just like, I mean, think about it. One of the hardest things I've ever done is intermittent fasting. Cause I like to eat, man. And you get hungry. And when you get hungry, you're like, shit, I gotta like wait another like 6 hours. What if I drink water? What if I drink coffee? We have someone we work with who's a nutritionist, and I like to next to her, I'm like, is it okay if I have gum, or if is it okay if I have whatever, right?
Make you hungry.
And you know what? Dog, staying on frequency is the same thing. You know, keeping on frequency, staying on frequency is a discipline. And it's a discipline that becomes natural after a while. But again, it's what takes you away from it is the circumstances, the people around you, whatever is happening, right? Just think about it. You're a dad. When you're around your kids, they feed off your frequency. Sure. They are vibrating with you, you know, and especially the young ones. Take a look. I have a soon to be 5-year-old, and like, if I feel something, or if I felt somebody, I knew somebody lied to me about something the other day that I'm doing business with, and it like, I felt it. The second I felt it, his posture went down. That's how connected we are, right? Because I'm always guarding the walls of his mind because I don't want him to experience anything I've ever experienced. I want him to. So having said that, the way I started, you know, because it was explained to me for the same thing, you know, where energy flows, your attention goes, your energy flows. I started hearing all these things that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But what started to make sense is I'm like, all right, if everything around me is vibrating, if I'm vibrating also, and if I'm not in line with anything around me, first and foremost, how do I protect myself? You know, what do I do? Because I want to stay in this state. Because if I know I have two options. When I think of something, you know, if you have a thought, if I give fuel to that thought, means emotion. Right. If I put my emotions into that thought becomes reality. That thought becomes a circumstance. That thought, that perception just, you know, it opens up in the middle of my eyes. Right.
Yeah.
And we all forget that those emotions come from our heart. You know, our heart's like a magnet. It has so much power. I mean, the human heart is an incredible machine. And that's why it's so important to take such good care of it. And so I'm like, all right, well, if I start thinking about this, I'm like, well, if I started thinking about the past, not regretting the past, but thinking like, how much time have I spent in the past actually giving my emotional intelligence to or towards something I didn't want?
A lot.
We've all done that a lot, right? And what's happened? It's become a reality. So what if I can change that and flip the switch and you put that towards what I want? How do I block all those other things out? Well, first and foremost, I need to stay on a frequency. And for me to stay on a frequency, I have two options. There's two ways I can operate. You know, I really believe in there's a three-dimensional, four-dimensional, five-dimensional, we can keep going world. But, and I'm not some mastermind, so I don't know how to get higher levels. But what I do know is that when I'm in my zone and when I'm detached, and I'm disconnected from everything, and when I'm nothing, you know, and I've accepted that, and I'm just like in this present moment, in loving this present moment without even thinking about myself, I'm in my, you know, fifth dimension. And for me, if I'm going to start feeling something or if I want to feel, I have two options here. I can either, you know, start getting my art and my freak, you know, my emotions and start, you know, vibing and tuning in to the frequencies of the past or the frequencies of the future that are like, oh, what, this is happening. Or I can literally, because there's so many versions of us happening at the same time, and I really believe that, I can become, I can harmonize myself and go into harmony with that I want and walk that way, talk that way, speak that way, feel that way. All of a sudden, even when I'm saying this to you, my posture changes, right? I start to sit up that way and that's it. And act, I have two choices. I mean, life is like a movie, right? You can either, all the stuff is a prop because this is the 3D. This is all matter. It's all prop. It's going to be here when we're gone, right? Our inbox will be filled when we're gone. Our mail will still be coming when we're gone. But we have two options. We can either stand in front of the camera and, you know, look backwards. We can get behind the camera and look into the future and just create our own movie and produce it as we go. And that to me is being on frequency. And so one of the things I remind myself throughout the day is I'll stop. Literally, I have these half times, just like a sporting event. And I'll ask, like, am I on frequency? How am I doing? Do I like how I'm speaking to people? Do I like how am I filled with love? You know, where am I? What am I doing? What's happening? Am I letting all this sort of affect me? And again, it takes practice because the first few times you're doing it, your subconscious goes, what are you doing? The hell's wrong with you? Of course, nothing is right. Of course you're this, you suck, you know, whatever, right? But once you start getting good at it, once you get stronger, again, it's like working out, then you stop and you think to yourself, you're like, okay, no, I need to get on frequency. It's okay if I take 15 minutes and meditate or just take a time out or step away from this for a second and just come back into it a better way. It's okay. I often find myself around my son and I have a lot to do, man. If you look at my Trillo list, it's like insane, right? And there's times I regret it where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm with you in 2 seconds, but, and he's like, daddy, come play. How many times is he going to be saying that to me? You know what I mean? Like, how many times is he going to be 5 years old? How long before he's like, daddy, I'm going out. I'll see you later.
Oh, trust me, buddy. My daughter's right now, right? It's like, yeah, they'll call when they need something.
But that's, you know, that's the way I'm practicing. So I look at it that way and I'm like, you know what? We have to be on frequency, you have to practice being on frequency, and to practice being on frequency, it's reprogramming. It's reprogramming the cells. It's not reprogramming. Most people think it's reprogramming the mind. It's reprogramming the body. The body is what captures all these emotions, all this nonsense from the past that's programmed into us, and then changing it up. And so just be careful. You know, like I tell everybody, I'm like, guard the walls of your mind. Be aware of other people's energy around you. The second you've been in conversations where the second somebody says something, you're like, whoa, this dude is like, you feel bad for them in a way.
Yeah.
Right. You say continue. It's like, I'm Persian, so we tend to be a little aggressive. So we just got it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, you know, that's not the way it works. But you know, the way I look at it, as long as I'm being authentic, who cares? As long as I'm being honest and I'm like, no, bro, this doesn't work. You know, this, you don't want it, great. But again, I'm looking for people who are sane, patterns, sure. Not necessarily wanting the same things I want, but we're in frequency. No,
exactly. Well, but I mean, you're also, I totally relate to this because, you know, a long time ago when I made decisions to move away from alcohol, and I mean, this is 15 years ago, I realized, you know, I still hung around the people I was hanging around initially for the first couple months, but the frequency had changed, you know, the wants had changed, the way we interacted had changed because I had removed this social influencer, right? Alcohol, and they didn't. And I wasn't judging them, but I started to find myself wanting deeper connection, deeper relationships. And I realized that alcohol was really a block to that, you know, but we normalized, right? And so I think, and what I'd like to ask you, because I know we're getting close to the end here, and that just means I'm gonna have you back again. And that's all good, because I can't wait to do that. What I like to ask you is, you know, a lot of what you're saying, I think resonates well, but I also know, being devil's advocate here, a lot of people are constantly dealing with self-limiting beliefs. Now, you've worked through a lot of those very intentionally, consciously. And I think that's honestly the only way you can address self-limiting beliefs is you have to first own them and then start to work through them. So how have you done that personally? But also, I know that you also support people also break free from limiting beliefs to assume, and I hate to say the idea of assuming a new identity, but I think it's a newfound confidence in who you are, you know? So I think the identity always remains the same. It's just our awareness for identity and our purpose in life. It sometimes shifts when we release some of those limiting beliefs. You know, we assume new beliefs about ourselves are much more freeing and much more, you know, to use some of your terminology, I would imagine radiating at a better frequency, you know? Could you mind just talking to self?
Absolutely.
Because I know that I hear a lot from people just like, I can't do this. Oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, I can never, you know? And it's just, it always breaks my heart because I'm just like, oh, you know, you're limiting your life already without even trying, you know? And that's what just really irks me sometimes. Like, I'm just like, oh, I just want to reach through the screen or, you know, reach out to those people, sending those messages and be like, it's okay, I see you. And you can do this, you know? And anyway, so I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's always tough when it's at home or when it's close to the heart or when somebody cares, right? Because you could be laying there and then, you know, your partner, you're like, you know what? I'm in this dimension. I may not have a private jet sitting in the bath right now, but that's where I am. You know, like I always tell one of my partners, because she's obsessed with Bentleys. And I'm like, and I always tell her, because I'm talking brand. And I'm like, hey, if you want, because my philosophy is if you have a good product, if you have a good brand, if you have a great value proposition, great story, if everything is right, you don't need any advertising firms. You don't need any marketing. The thing just works. So, and you know, I always tell her, I'm like, you want a Bentley? Be a Bentley, right? And, or you want to be a Ferrari, you want a Ferrari, be the Ferrari, right? It's sometimes easier said than done. So it's hard. It's where I found challenges with it in the past is when it's somebody that's close to you, right? And as again, you learn to detach, as again, you stay consistent with your practice and not feed into their vibration, but bring them to a better place. Well, you'll see that at home changes will start to occur. Now, to answer your question, I just wanted to bring that point up because connect. But to answer the question, I was speaking to someone actually. I want you to meet him. He's a champion. He's a bodyboarder. He and his wife are champion bodyboarders.
Wow!
And you know, because somebody's like, well, who cares about bodyboarding? It's not something like, bro, have you ever gone out in those waves? And you know what it's like?
And I
just know that, and these are people are practicing this 7 to 8 hours a day.
Whoa.
And then he was telling me, he's like, there's days that are just hard. There's days that are this, there's days that are that. And you have to know how to swim. You have to be in a certain condition, certain shape. So, and you know, he said something to me about wanting to believe in himself. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you know, sometimes I have this limiting belief about, because my dream is to become a world champion and I don't know how to do it. And you know, so then some days it's just hard. And then all of a sudden I saw his energy level, even his posture on how does he want to call similar to this? And he just starts going down. And I was like, let me ask you a question. Where are you right now? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm at home. I'm like, where are you? I'm like, where? And he's like, Hawaii. I'm like, you know where I am? And he's like, where? I'm like, I'm in New York freezing my ass off right now. You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, what's the temperature there? So he tells me the temperature. Yeah. And I'm like, how far are you from that beautiful blue water? He's like, I can just walk to it. I'm like, pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? And he's like, yeah. And he was like, well, okay. And I said, let me ask you another question. What do you see, you know, when you start thinking about becoming a world champion? You've obviously thought about it before, right? And so when you have this thought, what do you see? And he's like, well, and he started describing it to me, you know, and he's like, I'm this, I'm that, my wife is world champion too, and I'm a world. And we, all of a sudden, our entire conversation and the energy turned into the world bodyboarding, surfing world champion, which I know nothing about. I mean, I told him, I was like, I'm obsessed with what they do, because the two things I'm obsessed with is fly. Well, I'm in love with is flying, and I want to learn how to surf. I've always wanted to learn how to surf. So I'm like, dude, you might be young, but you're my idol, bro. Like, you're doing what I want to do every day. And so anyway, so I started telling him, like, start tell me what that feels like. So he starts describing it to me. And I'm like, where did that thought form? And he said, well, it was something that, you know, I thought about. And I said, well, it formed in your conscious mind. It was a thought. Then it turned into an image. And when it turned into an image, you pressed it into your subconscious. I mean, you press it into your subconscious. It went into the body and you acted and you started, you know, you started manifesting things. And he was like, okay. And I said, okay, let me ask you another question. Do you like pizza? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, do you ever get hungry and order a pizza? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, so what happens? He goes, well, I get hungry. I'm like, you think about it, right? You have this thought. And then he's just going, yeah. Subconsciously, you order the pizza. And then what happens? And the pizza comes. So during this process where you're waiting for the pizza, are you sitting back and thinking that the pizza is not coming, that you're not going to eat, that you're not going to have food, that the world and that all of a sudden the state of Hawaii is going to run out of pizza? And he's like, no, I already know I'm going to get the pizza. And I'm like, well, why can't the world championship be the same way? You know, why not think about, I know it's, again, and I told him, I was like, that's just same way you've been conditioned to think about the pizza and 100 other things in your life. You want that world championship? See yourself as a world championship. Talk like a world champion. Walk like a world champion. Train like a world champion. Because at some point, something is going to happen, you know? And it's when you least expect it. And I said, don't go into it. And that's the other advice I have for everybody. Don't go into it just thinking like, when's it coming? It's going to work. Is it not going to work? Because again, when you detach, and you're disconnected from it and you're just flowing, you know, you get into that state of flow where everything is happening for you, yeah. Then possibilities are endless and things, you'd be surprised. You walk into a place and you have no idea, you know, like how you were meant to meet somebody, how you connect with somebody. Look, I'm sitting here today with you and look how we connected, right? Strange the way I would have never thought. I never even look at that other platform. And then one day I look at it and I see you and I see the thing you did for our brand. I'm like, this guy's great. I want to hang out with this dude, you know, and you just never know, you know, and that's the beauty of life. And at the end of the day, that which is yours will come to you, you know, and if you thought about it and you feel it in your heart, it's going to come to you in one shape, form, or the other. The rest is up to you. What happens is we limit ourselves when we start doubting, when we start thinking all these other things, when we start like, well, I'm not, again, your subconscious, like, I'm not good enough, or why did I do this? Or why did I choose this? Why does it even matter? You're here now.
Yes.
And that's a practice on its own. You're here now. And there's things that happen to me some days, Di, I have no idea. I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. You know, like literally, I had one of those days, like the other day where like, I was like sitting down with someone. A hypnotist that I'm friends with. We're just having a conversation. She's helped me out quite a bit in the past. Met her in the strangest way. And then I start getting these calls. And you would think like most people, I was thinking to myself on the way, you know, to one of the scenarios, I was like, most people would be on their, like, if this was 20 years ago, I'd be on the floor, like kicking myself and pouting and throwing things at the wall. And then all of a sudden I felt good because I'm like, I really don't, like, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, everything's going to be all right, you know, and that's the approach. That's the discipline I'm going to stick by. The same way you choose to eat healthy. Why? Because you know what you put in is what you get out. So what you put in here is what you're going to get out. And what you put in here is what you're going to get out. Even more so. I mean, this is a magnet, man. This thing is like, you know, brings itself. I don't know if I answered the question, but
you did.
Just sharing, you know, daily life with you, man, and how that sort of connects, you know.
Well, I think the mindset, but it's that mind-body connection. I find nowadays, it's not like I have to convince people of this anymore. They are very aware. They might try to be ignorant to their own states at times and try to avoid that. And of course, those limiting beliefs sometimes trump the real, like what's actual reality. But again, it's, as you shared, it's a lot of that self perspective and how it influences our outwardly perspective, right? And how we show up. And I just keep thinking of Rumi while you're talking. And so,
you know, something interesting. I just want to leave you, I want to make sure I mean it, because people, when they get exposed to some of this information, it could be on Instagram, it could be on social media, whatever. And I'm not saying what I'm putting out there is great or not. I just share whatever the hell is on my mind, right?
Of course.
But there's stuff out there like, to be a billionaire, you have to to be this, you have to do that. To manifest what you want, to say these things 12 times. It's like, people just chill, like relax, you know, get to know yourself and look in the mirror and realize that you are the one, you know,
you are
the creator. And then look at yourself and love yourself and then fall in love with your own vibration. That is true power. From that moment, once you get good at that, you know, and this is something we have to like expand upon in later podcasts.
Yeah.
We can also bring people who can teach this. It's because it really helps people, man. It's like, it's not about like, it's like, I was telling somebody the other day, they're like, well, what do you think of the market? I'm like, what market? And they're like, the economy, are you worried about it? I'm like, I create my own economy, bro. And you're like, well, how did you come up with this valuation? I create my own valuation. I don't need to go on the Shark Tank. I don't need to do this sort of stuff. And I'm not being cocky. It's just that I don't pay. Be your own reality, you know? And as long as you're doing something that's working, you're helping people, especially in this day and age, and you're giving back. And you, again, it's all about that circularity. As long as it's in a nice circle, then you have something beautiful. But you don't need to like, don't, because I know people look at that like, I got to get up tomorrow and I got to donate because this thing, this app said I got to do this. You don't have to do anything. You can choose to do it, right? Yes. And the rest of it is the rest of it. And all these guys that they use as a, Elon Musk wakes up in the morning and eats this and blah. We don't know. He could be eating bacon, egg, and cheese for all we have no idea, bro. Like, nobody knows any of that. But, you know, he's in frequency with everything he's doing. And so are all these other guys that they use, or guys and ladies and gentlemen, I should say, that they use as comparison. That's all they're doing. They're just in frequency. And their vibratory outlook is in harmony with what they desire. That's it.
Right. It's that alignment of conscious and self-conscious, right? When you get those two things aligned, oh my goodness, watch out. Cause it is life-changing. It really can be. But and what we're talking about, it's not like we're talking about a cryptic code that you need to crack. It's like giving yourself the space to just start to apply some of the things we talked about. Like even just meditate, you know, like, just doing a little bit of meditation every day. I mean, if you're someone that loves the science, sure, science has come around and said, wow, yeah, we'll see a decrease in cortisol levels. We'll see heart rate variability decrease. You're going to feel less stressful. You'll be more present. You know, and they study this and there's thousands of studies about meditation. And it's like, what more do you need as an invitation to just try it?
And you know something, Guy? Yeah, if you look at any amazing person in history, if you look at some of the, like, not that I study dictators, but I always wondered, I'm like, how did this guy take over a country when he was like 18 years old? Or how did this guy do this? Or how did that guy, or how did this, if you look at anybody who's done anything, and I'm not saying dictators are great, but if you look at anybody who's done anything great or done something where you're just like, how the hell did they do that? You have to know that they, even though they couldn't see it, smell it, taste it, you know, but they believed in it so much and they stayed so committed to that belief that they just do it. They just did it. It happened in some way, form or the other. And then others believed in their cause or believed in what they were doing at some point. And I'm sure everybody, like anybody else, at some point, somebody told Napoleon, like, you're not going to be able to conquer nothing. And he's like, you know, and I read something the other day and they were saying, he's like, circumstances, I create my own circumstances. You know what I mean? And apparently that's a quote by Napoleon, somebody said.
I can believe it. I mean, it's, I'm sure he said it in French, but, you know,
I'm not saying Napoleon was a great guy, but my point is
he conquered
a bunch of countries, you know what I mean? Yeah. Back in those days where there was no GPS and navigation and computers and whatever.
You're right. You're right. And you know, for the sake of brevity, I do recognize we're getting on time here. But I always like to give, you know, sort of that last words from my guest. So, you know, what would you like to leave today for the audience? You know, if this is sort of your last sort of goodbye to them or invitation to them, what would you like to leave with them today?
I think it's really important for everybody to understand the three things. Not everybody on there, but if I can share something with you, if you said, what are the three most important things that I can take from you, Peruz, or what you've learned? I would say the same three things I said at the beginning of this, that your power lies in your detachment, you know, and being able to step out and be nothing and live in the moment. Your power lies in the present, loving the present moment and being authentic, but most important, knowing, you know, you have two options every day. There's two things you can believe in. One is fear and worry and all this other stuff, which slows down your wavelengths, which slows everything. Everything's moving fast, but everything just slows down for you. And the other option is to have faith and know everything is going to be okay. Although everything is going to move slower, everything around you is moving a lot faster than you imagine. And I would leave, it's pretty simple and nothing, you know, amazing in it. And I can tell you, it's taken me a while to figure out everything that I've been through, the journey I've been on. It's taken me some time to figure that out. And, you know, I live by it every day and I try to expand on that. And I try to help other people with it too, you know, so.
Well, I really appreciate today to connect and share some of these pearls of wisdom that you've gathered in your life. And I know it's a constant evolution, just based on every conversation I have with you. I'm always amazed at how much more depth, but also how much more wisdom I'm able to uncover in our conversation. So I'm really stoked to have you back later, especially to talk about some of the other interesting projects. And I'd love to have you back to talk about the community that you're developing specifically, because I think it's people need community. We all do. We're all looking for it. But when we align with the right people, with the right intentions, with the right support systems, it's incredible how life can take a whole new meaning for each individual that's part of that community. And it's always fun, you know, to do it together. So I'm going to have you back real soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, seriously, lots of love to everybody out there.
What an exciting journey we've undertaken today with Peruz. Thank you for tuning into the 2% Solution. Each narrative shared opens up new perspectives and ways of being. Peruz has underlined the transition from mere survival to thriving, showcasing the power of aligning ourselves with the right frequency and the significance of mindful self-care. If Peruz's journey and insights inspire you, I encourage you to delve deeper. Visit his website at peruz.co. and follow him across various social media platforms to continue the dialogue and begin incorporating your own 2% solutions into your life. As a special offer for our listeners, use the coupon code DIMANUEL20, that's DIMANUEL20, during checkout on his website to save 20% off your purchase. Connect with them on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok to witness a life operating at its pinnacle potential. Remember, each minor step is a part of a larger journey towards self-discovery and empowerment. Share this episode with friends and family on their pathway to personal mastery. And let's spread the concept of living a life that's not just fine, but truly extraordinary. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, challenge yourself to make that 2% shift that triggers significant growth. Stay tuned for more inspiring episodes on the 2% Solution with me, your host, DIMANUEL. Until next time.